neurologist, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Well, minutes ago and just a few miles away, Impact Wrestling presented their annual Slammiversary pay-per-view, and I watched it. Did you? Did anyone? Are we going to get calls about this tonight? Because I sat through 3 hours of it, and actually, I shouldn't play it down and say I sat through it. It was hardcore. It was a bit of a throwback, but there was a lot of great stuff in tonight's show. Twitter is going nuts. What did you think? Is Impact Wrestling the new ECW? Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event. I'm your host, Jason Agnew, and tonight, the road to SummerSlam has begun, and we've got a bunch of pundits on the program to use as our collective GPS. Joining me tonight, Dave Meltzer for the Wrestling Observer Insider, the triple threat with 411 Mania's Larry Zonka, and the co-host of Wrestling Observer Live, Mike Sempervivi. And I'm hoping some of your phone calls. The phone lines are already lighting up, and we're broadcasting live on TSN 1150, which means you may be driving back in your car from Slammiversary tonight, and I want to hear from you and what you thought. The phone lines are fixed this week. Trust me, I tested them. 1-866-729-2562. Write it down. 1-866-729-2562. The Sunday Night Survey is already up on Twitter as well. What did you think of Slammiversary? Thumbs up, thumbs down, or skipped it, which, to be honest with you, you probably shouldn't have. Those are your options. Go vote at SNME Radio right now, also on the table this week. All that was in pro wrestling, including the brutal Randy Orton attack on Jeff Hardy, the love affair, I guess, between Bayley and Sasha. And are we going to get Roman versus Brock yet again, or will Bob play a role? Taking a break, coming on back to rundown Slammiversary right here on Sunday night's main event.
Oh, God. He's going to shank him with... Jesus. Oh, he's digging it into the face.
This is assault. It's a criminal act.
Look at Callahan. Disgusting snot and spit coming out of his face as he tries to maim the exposed head of Pentagon Jr. A railway spike, Josh Matthews.
Welcome back. It is indeed Sunday night's main event here on TSN Radio. It's so weird for me to hit the air after an Impact Wrestling pay-per-view and feel slightly energized. A lot of feedback that I'm seeing on Twitter right now. A lot of people really, really enjoyed this pay-per-view tonight. I have to say it was better than what I expected, but having said that, for those of you that follow Instagram at SNME Radio, I put up a story today where I actually wore a shirt. I'm currently sitting here in a t-shirt that says the pessimist is never disappointed, because I did not expect this to be a great pay-per-view. I mean, why would I with the track record of Impact Wrestling? They did some very different stuff tonight, and I am going to run down the pay-per-view. It felt like my operator Jeremy said in the middle of this, this feels like they're going back and trying to do an ECW thing. And there was a lot of hardcore stuff on here. I did feel that I got two hardcore matches, and after the tag match tonight, I was okay. After the street fight, I was like, okay, we saw that. Now let's move along. And then we just got a brutal match. And I'm not saying brutal in as in bad. I'm saying brutal as in violent, involving railroad spikes between Pentagon and Sami Callihan, which was completely unexpected. To me, I will tell you right now, to me, felt a little bit over the top, a little too much for me. But the crowd did not feel that way. The crowd tonight was all about this violence. They just wanted more, more, more. So much so, it was hard for Aries and Moose at the end of the show tonight to keep up with what had preceded them, which is very different for an Impact Wrestling show. But instead of going through this whole thing right away, I mean, we already have callers on the line, so I want to get to them right away. And by the way, the phone lines are open, 1-866-729-2562. They work this week, as I've declared, which is refreshing from what happened last week. Let's go first to Troy from Toronto. Troy, you watched Slammiversary tonight. What'd you think? Oh, wrong one. Let's go on this side. Hey, Troy, what'd you think?
Hey, so I actually had a chance to go tonight. I have a friend visiting from New York, and we had a chance to go. I passed. But we ended up ordering it anyway.
Oh, wait. Hold on. So you had a chance to go to this show. You opted not to go, but you sat at home and ordered it instead?
Yes, I know. It sounds a bit odd. So I had a friend soon.
Okay.
So upon ordering it, I'm going to be honest, I don't watch it at all. I really, really, really don't. Neither does she. But again, based on the interest that we were going to go, so we ended up, you know, taking a shot at it. I was so impressed.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did a great job leading up to all the matches, filling me in on the blanks. Again, Pentagon Jr. and Sammy Callahan, I didn't really have an idea what the story was. I knew it was hair versus mask. Brilliant video packages. To be honest, the only down spot, I would say, I really didn't enjoy the Madison Rain match.
Me neither. I didn't care. I don't like that whole character, though.
No, me neither. I thought it was just, to be honest, I thought it was a really clunky match, but even the stuff that I don't follow, again, the Sue Young match, for example, I don't know a whole lot about it. I thought her character was brilliant. I thought the match was, you know, it was average, but I thought the whole lead-in and the gimmicky casket and the bridesmaids, I think they were calling them, I found it, the whole thing, enthralling. And again, to your point, after the Sammy Callahan Pentagon Jr. match, I was like, okay, Moose versus Austin Aries, this is probably going to be a dud. The crowd followed them, and I thought the match was really good. I'm gonna be honest. After, I think it was not midway through, but three quarters through, when they said the Bound for Glory, I believe it was going to be in New York.
Yeah,
I was actually disappointed because I was like, you know what? If they would have done this again at Rebel, 100% they would have got my money.
Well, you can still go down there tomorrow. I mean, they're doing TV tapings tomorrow, and I believe they're coming back in August again. So you can actually go see them. But it is kind of funny, though. I mean, think about this, Troy. I mean, you got them doing this style of show, and then all of a sudden they announce that they're in a ballroom in New York City. Can anything say ECW more than that?
No, absolutely. And I think, again, those two hardcore matches, and not even that. To be honest, I thought the LAX match was great. And I've heard a lot about them through, obviously, Twitter and you.
Yep.
And, you know, everyone talking about them. I knew really the character I probably knew the most about, to be honest, was Rich Swann, who wasn't even on the show.
Yeah, that's true. Rich Swann, by the way, for those of you who don't know, was not on the show due to a concussion that he suffered at the MLW show, so he was replaced in the first match by Petey Williams. Thank you very much for the call, Troy. I tell you, the most impressive part of this conversation is the fact that you said you had a friend over, and then you said she, and you invited her over to watch Impact Wrestling. And she went. All right. Thank you very much. He hung up, I think, before I said that. Let's get to San Antonio from Miami. It's not two places. One of them's actually a person. What's happening? You watched the show tonight. What'd you think?
Yeah. Hey, what's up, Agnew? Yeah, show was great. We all went to my friend's house, big wrestling fans. We were actually watching Omega versus Naito before, so we went in like, all right. What
oh, man.
Impact? Yeah. So we were like, oh, what kind of crap is Impact going to pull? And everything was great. Top to bottom, card was great. Matches were great. LAX versus OGs, match of the night. I loved Josh Matthews on commentary when he was saying, oh, this is going to be a technical match between Moose and Aries. And then they just were diving everywhere. It was amazing. Great pay-per-view. Blew me away. Didn't even expect anything.
Now, yeah, tell me something, though. I mean, you went over to your friend's place and you had designed that you were going to watch Impact Wrestling. Are you guys all still following the product? Or what I'm finding from a lot of tweets that I see is this, it seems to be a bit of a reintroduction to a lot of people.
Well, so I'm a wrestling podcast nerd. I tend to listen to more than I watch.
Yeah.
And, I've been just hearing the buzz about Impact, and so we just started watching it. And it's so funny, we kept saying TNA, but by the end of the night, we're like, oh, Impact's cool. And it just was a cool new product and a new twist. A lot of the old characters, like Madison Rain coming back, was cool. The whole Sue Young gimmick with the coffin and the bridesmaid. Like, it was just a cool, different, and I don't want to be on the same train as everyone, it's like ECW, but it did have the same purple, lighting, the ECW on TNN used to have, and everyone, were all big wrestling nerds, but no one gave Impact a chance, and it's a rainy Sunday here in Miami, and I'm not going to lie, we live-streamed it, but we were like, man, we should have paid for it to support the product, and whatever, I'll definitely do what I have to do to support them. They're great.
Well, there you go. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. And there you have it. So a couple of positive reviews. The phone lines remain open at 1-866-729-2562. Feel free to call in. I'll interrupt the rundown to go to phone calls if I get them. So it was, of course, yes, Slammiversary tonight. And they did this here from Toronto. It's at the Sound Academy, the Docks. It's Rebel Nightclub is what it's now called. And the setup's nice. I mean, they're going to go back here for TV tapings, and I do think it looks cool. The ceiling looked great. This sounds weird to say, but if for you guys who have been listening to me for a long time, you know that I'm very picky as far as production values go and what I watch, and it's what turned me off Ring of Honor for so many years when they had such horrid lighting. Well, tonight, Impact did a great job in lighting this place up. The ceiling looked good, and they actually had lights within the walls, not just lights shined up on the walls, like lights on the walls themselves, which look nice. They kick things off tonight with a fatal four-way, Phoenix versus Johnny Impact versus Ishimori, and Petey Williams was filling in for Rich Swann in this match. Obviously, this is a match of four guys who can really go, and it started fast, it started high impact, and we had a spot in the middle here where, you know, a good thing for the Canadian crowd to get is when Ishimori blocked a Canadian destroyer, so Williams applied a sharpshooter. Boom! Big pop for that. In the end, Impact hit Phoenix with the super kick, and then the Starship Pain to pin Phoenix. So Johnny Impact coming back to Impact Wrestling, and in doing so, also gets the win here. We had a knockouts match as the second of the night. It was Tessa Blanchard versus Allie. The more I see Tessa Blanchard, she just reminds me of China. Early China. Allie is built from being Toronto, so she's definitely the baby face here. Clearly, Tessa is the one getting the push. There was a scary, scary spot in this match while I was watching. I mean, Tessa gives Allie and Hearn Kanrana off the top rope. Or is that a Frankensteiner in impact? Whatever. She lands right on her head and neck. I was just glad she got up. Allie hits the Allie Valley driver on the floor, also gets a super kick. But the finish came when Tessa wins with the hammerlock DDT. And as I said, I think Tessa's the one getting the push. Your first hardcore opportunity of the night came with Tommy Dreamer versus Eddie Edwards. And, you know, after what they did it. They did a spot here with the staple gun. And you actually got ECW chance in this match. And at the time, I was thinking it was because of the spot. But in actuality, it was probably more because it was Tommy Dreamer in the match. And no matter where Tommy Dreamer goes, he's going to get the ECW chance. So you did get them. Tommy hits a super Death Valley driver off the top rope through two chairs in this. Tommy gets a table, gets lighter fluid, and then gets hit with a low blow and a DDT and a Shining Wizard. And that's where Eddie gets the pin. I felt that this match was fine. I don't really care for the storyline. I don't care for these two guys put together. I mean, this whole thing is the storyline is Eddie is jealous because he thinks Tommy is sleeping with his wife. I don't care for it. Along with that, what I didn't really understand in this match is that they teased the fire in the table, and granted, I'm glad they didn't go there, but why tease it if you're not going to go there? I mean, I know why they're not doing that. We saw tons of tables. We saw tons more hardcore stuff on this night, but we didn't need to see that tease because it only led to the crowd being disappointed in this match. At the end of the match, they did some sort of passing the torch / passing the kendo stick angle from Tommy to Eddie Edwards. I didn't really care for the end of this. Matt Sydal then cuts a promo about seeing through his third eye. Didn't like this very much. There was an X Division title match. This is where, of course, Matt Sydal defending his title versus Brian Cage. It's still amazing to watch the man the size of Brian Cage to be so incredibly athletic and to be able to jump around and do flips. And because of that, I actually think they did make the right decision here. They put the title on him in this match. The crowd liked this match. They went with the cliche, this is awesome chant. Most of it surrounded Brian Cage's big power moves and Matt Sydal just surviving them for the match. But what you got at the end here is Sydal did the shooting star press and his feet clipped the top rope and he crashed and burned. Now, I couldn't tell if this was actually on purpose. If it was, that's incredible that Matt Sydal can do this move so well that he knows how to intentionally screw this move up. And hopefully he's not hurt. After doing so, Cage hit the drill claw, and he won the title. So Brian Cage is your new Impact Wrestling X Division champion. This is where we had a slight lull in the pay-per-view here, the Knockouts Championship. I mean, unlike what San Antonio said there, our last caller, who likes Sue Young and likes the Undead Bridesmaids and all that, I don't care for this. And it's funny, because I like Rosemary, and I like the character that she does in Impact Wrestling. I can't get into the Sue Young character. I just look at all this whole thing, and I kind of found it ridiculous, especially because the title's involved here as well. Sue Young comes out in the coffin with the bridesmaids. They would ultimately serve as a distraction for Madison at ringside. This was not a good match. I mean, eventually it came down to Sue Young putting a bloody glove into Madison's mouth in some sort of weird, almost reverse mandible claw. She had a choke on her at the same time, and Madison Rayne passes out. Then Sue Young puts her in the coffin. You know, if you're going to do that, why didn't we just do a coffin match? Unless that's still to come. But it just seems like if you're going to utilize the coffin anyway, then why not utilize it and make it a coffin match? 5150 Street Fight. Well, let me tell you something. The crowd and the whole event definitely popped back up at this point. So it's like the old LAX versus new LAX here. The Latin American Exchange, which is Santana and Ortiz there with Conan. They're the champions versus the OGs. That's Hernandez and Homicide with King. These guys go right for the tables. This match is more hardcore than the hardcore match, but little did we know would not be the most hard. It was like the medium hardcore match is what it was. And the crowd loves it. At one point, one of them pulls out some Drano and is about to use it in the match. That's a first. The crowd at this point, I guess they thought it was kerosene. They chanted they still wanted fire. We did not get fire on the show. Thank goodness. There's a big spot where Homicide took out Santana with the tope through the ropes into a table that just busted upon impact. Pardon the pun. Hernandez put Ortiz through a table with the border cross. The crowd was actually chanting. And here was the key that I brought up earlier when I said they were chanting ECW. Here, they were chanting Impact Wrestling as opposed to ECW, which is quite the turn for, I guess they were just happy and impressed with the fact that this pay-per-view was, as I said, just going much better than expected. The end of the match came when Homicide went for the Gringo Killer, but was distracted by Conan on the apron. He spit in Conan's face. As he did that, Conan managed to toss thumbtacks over to Ortiz, where he dropped and then body slammed Homicide onto. He followed that up with a top rope frog splash. Listen, I remember when Jeremy Borash did this. The top rope frog splash onto thumbtacks. He just had blood all over his hands. Just so much here. So they retained the titles. The OGs then attacked. They apprehended Conan because they had taken out LAX. They knocked him out before going old school, pulling out spray cans. And just like the NWO used to do, spray painting OG on the tag team titles, even though they didn't win them. They just spray painted them. A hair versus hair mask, hair versus mask match, that is, was next. Sammy Callahan versus Pentagon Jr. Early on in this match, they're fighting on the outside, and the announcers have to state, they have to make clear that the rules are going to be very relaxed tonight, which is why the ref is not counting them out. And then all of a sudden, Sammy Callahan gets his hands on some railroad spikes, as the announcers call them. He then rips Pentagon's mask open and strikes Pentagon with a spike. Pentagon blades here. Then Callahan grabs a baseball bat. Then Pentagon uses the spikes on Callahan. Then Pentagon takes both things and tries to put them together. It's like 1 + 1 = 2 because he takes the bat and he takes the spike and he hits the spike with the bat into the head of Callahan. Man, what is happening here? But shockingly, this is why the crowd once again chants, this is Impact, as opposed to ECW. So good for them. They didn't sit on chairs. They chop one another. They get off the chairs. They hit one another. Pentagon teases, breaking Sammy's arm. Sammy throws powder into his eyes. It's like they had every gimmick in the world that they were trying for this. It was like all in one. We're not waiting. There's no tomorrow. We're using all our gimmicks today. So Pentagon's blinded. He grabs the ref. He breaks the ref's arm because he can't see. He then clears his eyes, hits the Pentagon driver. There's no ref, though he can't count. He's got a broken arm, remember? Sammy then sets up four chairs, but Pentagon manages to get a package pile driver on them. Sammy kicks out. Pentagon then breaks the arm, hits the package pile driver, gets the win. Sammy tries to run, but is intercepted by Phoenix on the ramp, and he gets a haircut. Crowd loved this. I actually thought this was a little too much. I thought they had gone a little too far. I was done, as I said, after the tag match, street fight. I was okay. I had my time. It was a little hardcore. That's cool. But they loved it. They loved these two guys. They're going nuts. And it did feel like a main event. So I'm thinking here, after this, the crowd is going bananas. How do you follow this with the Impact Championship? And it's Aries versus Moose. Now, before this, they announced that Sunday, October 14th, Bound for Glory will take place at the Melrose Ballroom in New York City. So that feels very ECW, just saying. Impact Championship, as I said, Aries walking in, champion versus Moose. Curtis Granderson, maybe my highlight of the pay-per-view, being a super Blue Jays fan. He is announced as the title holder. Kind of weird, but I guess any chance to get some sort of sports celebrity on, they'll take. Obviously, this match was dealing with a huge size difference. At one point, Moose ended up in the crowd, taking out the front row. Aries tried to dive to the outside onto Moose through the ropes, but Moose just stunned him with a forearm that seemed to send Aries back in the middle of the ring. Aries counters with the spear. He counters a spear with the last chancery. Aries hits a big dive to the outside through the middle rope, sending Moose into a railing. Moose then grabs Aries by the feet, tosses him back and forth into the two guardrails. Aries goes for a brainbuster. Moose reverses the brainbuster into a brainbuster of his own, then hits the spear. I actually thought it was done, because when you reverse a guy's move, then hit your move, you're done, right? Nope. Aries tries to run up the ramp. Moose grabs him on the top of the ramp. He picks him up. And he teases throwing him back into the ring, but instead he turns and he just hoofs Aries into the crowd off the ramp. This was a fun spot here, and clearly they had a bunch of, you know, indie wrestlers wearing security outfits there to catch him. But it was a fun spot. I liked this a lot. We then have Aries recovering. He hits a brainbuster on the floor. He's hoping Moose is going to get counted out, but Moose crawls back in. Aries kicks him in the face. Aries grabs the belt from Curtis Granderson. Granderson grabs it back. Moose has an awful-looking roll-up here, which I'm glad was not the finish, because it would have been terrible. Aries then turns around, kicks him in the head, brainbuster, 1, 2, 3, done. And Aries remains your champion. Listen, considering all that these guys had to follow, and just in general, this match was quite good. Dare I say it, aside from a couple lulls, this was a strong pay-per-view tonight, if you enjoy the hardcore style. But was it too much? Because to me, it did border on a little too much. So let me know what you think. It's 1-866-729-2562. That's the review of Slammiversary. Coming back, we've got some news for you to break down what happened this week. Along with that, let's talk a little bit about TV. All these subjects up for grabs. It's Sunday night's main event right here on TSN Radio.
Hello, and thank you for calling the Hulk Hogan Catchphrase Abuse Hotline. By making this call, you have taken that all-important first step and realized you indeed have a problem. We've all been there before, and we are here to help. Brother! We know that you're tired of going up to your friends, no matter what their names are, and exclaiming, "Well, you know, Mean Gene!" You've realized how futile it is to proclaim that you have 24-inch pythons, the largest arms in the world, when in fact you have spindly little pencils for arms. Now, thanks to our patented red and yellow extraction techniques and rejuvenating hair transplants, you'll no longer be forced to train, say your prayers, and eat your vitamins. So now that you've finally taken the plunge, we can safely ask, what you gonna do when the Hulk Hogan Catchphrase Abuse Hotline runs wild on you, brother? In fact, you'll be so secure in your new lifestyle that you'll be using exciting new phrases like, do you smell what The Rock is cooking? And don't hate the player, hate the game. And of course, catfight, catfight. Thank you for calling the Hulk Hogan Catchphrase Abuse Hotline. An operator will be with you momentarily.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Well, we have to start the news pack this week with the fallout from the Hulk Hogan situation. So, as you know, it was last Sunday that WWE announced Hogan was reinstated to the WWE Hall of Fame. He was also backstage at Extreme Rules and gave a speech to all the talent about being careful about social media. And, well, that right there seems to be one of the main problems. Now, obviously, this is going to be a very sensitive subject considering Hogan was fired over racist remarks he was recorded saying in 2006 and then surfaced via leaked video in 2015. And that's when the WWE distanced themselves from Hogan. Well, reports from last Sunday seem to say that Hogan's speech was more so leaning towards the fact that he was sorry that he was recorded saying the racist remarks and warned everyone that we live in a digital age of social media and they should learn from him and be careful with what they say because they never know who's recording. Problem is, he didn't really apologize for what he said. So, naturally, this led to a bunch of the talent being upset about the situation with an obvious emphasis on any African-American talent employed by the company. The first to publicly speak out was Mark Henry, who also conveniently was flown into the Extreme Rules pay-per-view for the Hogan speech, and let's be honest here, for no other reason but his skin color. Well, Henry told TMZ the following.
I've talked to guys that were like, man, the hell with him. And I had guys that was like, you know what, man, if you're willing to make a change and try to help out and go and speak up and be a part of the answer rather than a part of the problem, then it's all good.
The New Day also posted a statement online saying they feel indifferent with Hogan being reinstated into the WWE Hall of Fame, but also went on to state the following, quote, on a personal level, when someone makes racist and hateful comments about any race or group of people, especially to the degree that Hogan made about our people, we find it difficult to simply forget, regardless of how long ago it was or the situation in which these comments were made. But we also do not respond with more feelings of hate. Instead, we just do not associate it with the people who convey or who have conveyed this negative and hurtful mindset. This instance will be no different. Perhaps if we see him make a genuine effort to change, then maybe our opinion will change with him. Time will tell. End quote. So I take from that that the New Day will not be sharing pancakes with Mr. Red and Yellow anytime soon. However, the greatest controversy seemed to come from Titus O'Neil. Now, rumors surfaced on Sunday night into Monday that Titus refused to shake Hogan's hand and walked out while Hogan was addressing the talent. Now, Titus posted up a statement refuting these rumors, which also included the following in regards to Hogan's address. Quote, I must echo the sentiment and dissatisfaction expressed by many of my fellow contemporaries concerning Mr. Bollea's apology and its lack of true contrition, remorse, and a desire to change. Mr. Bollea's apology that, quote, he didn't know he was being recorded, end quote, is not remorse for the hateful and violent utterances he made, which reprise language that has caused violence against blacks and minorities for centuries, end quote. Now, both these New Day and Titus statements were posted in full at WrestlingObserver.com. So if you want to see them and read them, by all means, check them out. But obviously, this has caused a whole bunch of headaches for WWE and really seems like a complete misfire in regards to not only bringing Hogan back, but in the way that they instructed Hogan to make this speech. And, well, I was going to say apologize, but I can't even use that word because it didn't seem like an apology came out of the mouth of Mr. Red and Yellow. Over to more big decisions and announcements coming from WWE land. We'll be getting the return of Stephanie McMahon tomorrow night on Raw, as WWE put out a statement saying she will be making a historic announcement. So if we look at the history of Stephanie's announcements, including the Women's Royal Rumble and Women's Elimination Chamber, both very awkward, I expect this one to follow suit. Yeah, awkward, and rumors are circulating around an all-women's pay-per-view or women's tag titles or women's intercontinental title. Now, if it does happen to be a pay-per-view, it seems to be rumored that we're going to get it at the end of September or in October. So after SummerSlam, but before Survivor Series. And I would guess this pay-per-view culminates with Jim from Virginia having a heart attack, but dying a happy man. And speaking of Jim from Virginia, who's become quite the character on the show, the WWE continued to announce more participants for the 2018 Mae Young Classic. Deonna Purrazzo was announced, that's no big surprise, along with Tegan Knox, Jesse Eleben, Ryna Gonzalez, and Killer Kelly, who you may remember from the last UK special. Plus, returning this year will be Mia Yim, Mercedes Martinez, and Kavita Devi. Also, at the NXT tapings, Tanara Conti defeated Vanessa Bourne in a Mae Young Classic qualifying match, so I guess she's in the mix as well. They're just waiting for that to air in order to announce it. Last night, Paige posted up a tweet stating that there would be a tag team tournament on SmackDown to find a contender for the Bludgeon Brothers at SummerSlam. Did they really have to do this on a Saturday night? I mean, honestly, it couldn't have waited till SmackDown when you had millions of people watching, or maybe doing it last week on SmackDown as opposed to on Twitter on a Saturday night at like 6-something p.m.? Why? Why? Injury report. PW Insider reported that Kane suffered an Achilles tendon injury on the last episode of SmackDown before Extreme Rules, hence why they did the injury on the pay-per-view angle and then the silly funeral this week on SmackDown. He's not expected to be back on TV anytime soon. Charlotte Flair appeared on Conversations with Maria Menounos. And believe me, I didn't listen to this because, whoa, that sounds painful. Anyhow, Flair said she expects to be cleared to return on July 31st. This is, of course, after undergoing surgery for when her breast implants ruptured. Keeping with the Flair's, Daddy Rick tweeted that he is on the mend after going surgery last week to eliminate the need for a colostomy bag, which is very good news because now he can go back to worrying about woo instead of worrying about... No, that's just a terrible joke. Squared Circle Sirens reported that Sienna has departed Impact Wrestling after not re-signing with the company when her contract expired while she was injured. However, she returned to Shine this weekend and was announced as an entrant in their title tournament. Also in the returning from injury category, Trent Barretta was back in Ring of Honor on Friday night at their Honor for All event. He made the save for Chuck Taylor after Bully Ray was beating Taylor down after their match. So the best friends are back together. Also on that card, for those of you that were hoping for Brian Alvarez's theory of Flip Gordon winning the NWA World title and then forcing Cody to book him on All In, well, unfortunately, it didn't happen. Gordon challenged Nick Aldis on Friday night, but was unsuccessful in his attempt to win the NWA Championship. However, Cody was at ringside for the event, and they did an angle where Flip continues to gain Cody's respect. One more note in regards to Ring of Honor. The Wrestling Observer reports that feelers have been sent to CM Punk for a return to Ring of Honor, presumably for their Madison Square Garden show. But it's a long shot, a very long shot. You know, though, you'd think CM Punk would be motivated to do anything to piss off Vince McMahon, right? This would really piss off Vince and Paul, wouldn't it? Just throwing that out there. A few notes from MLW's Battle Riot, which do include some spoilers, so if you don't want them, plug your ears. First of all, Matt Stryker made his debut in the promotion doing commentary with Tony Schiavone. He'll now be a regular on the broadcast. Your winner of the 40-man Battle Riot, UFC fighter and WrestlingObserver.com podcaster, Filthy Tom Lawler. And now a quick look at some MMA stories, which all seem to be pro wrestling entangled anyhow. Former UFC heavyweight champion Cain Velasquez visited the WWE Performance Center this week. WWE noted that Velasquez worked with Norman Smiley in the ring, participated in a DDP yoga session with DDP himself, who happened to be coaching this week, and worked out in the weight room. Now, ESPN's Ariel Helwani tweeted about the visit, stating, "Velasquez enjoyed his time there. I'm told he is open to options." He is healthier than he's been in a while. His team wouldn't comment on his contract status, though. Hey, speaking of UFC fighters hanging around WWE, well, let's talk Mr. Ronda Rousey. That's right, Travis Brown. When asked about potentially wrestling in WWE, Travis Brown said he's under contract with UFC, but would never say no to the possibility of wrestling. Good stuff. He's already got that never say never mentality. He said he'd love to work with Ronda Rousey and would want to be in a tag team with her. And finally, one full-on MMA note, former UFC middleweight champion Anderson Silva accepted a one-year suspension from USADA retroactively beginning in November of 2017 after the drug testing organization found that the supplements Silva received from a Brazilian pharmacy were tainted. Ooh, more tainted supplements. ESPN's Ariel Helwani reported Silva will return to fighting as early as November 10th. Okay, just one more wrestling note before we go out to break here. It's going to be a big month for Elias, maybe not in the ring, but definitely outside, as two specials are set to air on the WWE Network this month, and he'll be putting out an album. Elias, live from Bourbon Street, a performance was filmed at Razoo Bar and Patio in New Orleans on the Thursday of WrestleMania week, and is listed for the WWE Network at 11:36 p.m. Eastern Time this coming Monday. It's actually already posted in full on the WWE's YouTube. Now, also at the end of it, there are clips hyping up a Walk with Elias the documentary. Well, that seems to be a mockumentary about the making of Walk with Elias the album. I'm already watching these clips looking like it completely misses the mark on the comedy aspect of it. However, this special will premiere on the WWE Network after Raw on July 30th. So apparently, Walk with Elias' album is also going up on iTunes and Spotify tomorrow. So, to take you to break, here is a bit of the very uninspiring Bourbon Street performance. But I will say this. I look forward to someone going on our Patreon, picking the Dr. Mouth music review, and making Lavransky sit through this entire album and reviewing it. But that's just for my own personal amusement. Here is some Walk with Elias as we head to break. It's Sunday night's main event. It's TSN Radio.
I met a million people in my life. They all had something to say. But if I listen to everybody's problems, well, guess what? I never get through my day. Well, everyone thinks they're so special, but I'm here to tell you you're not. The only words that matter in life are the ones that Elias got.
Thanks for finding Sunday night's main event. As you know, we've started a new Patreon, and it's patreon.com/SNMEradio in hopes of bringing this man back, Dr. Mouth. Well, Mouth, but Dr. Mouth when we talk music. Is that how it works?
Well, see, yes, because you don't know this, Jay, but I have a VHD.
That just sounds like a sexually transmitted disease.
No, well, to your perverted mind, it might, but it's actually a doctorate vinyl historian.
Really?
I am a certified vinyl historian. And one of the things I love to do is go through the history of popular music and find music that I feel has slipped through the cracks. In fact, I have a YouTube channel that is devoted to this. It's just Dr. Mouth, and I do this show, Slip Through the Cracks, and I take great old records and present them to the public. So if you subscribe to this level and you have a cool old record that you think, hey man, I'd like to see Mouth talk about this and maybe educate other people, you can pick the record and I will do a Slip Through the Cracks episode all about that record.
So just go onto the Patreon and find Dr. Mouth's music review. With this, you get to see an example here posted. I posted the Freddie Blassie,
I Write
the Songs album, which you reviewed.
Yes.
And along with that, you'll also get access to the Sunday Night's Main Event Patron Podcast, and you can be a part of Turnbuckle Trivia as well. That is level 3. It's Dr. Mouth's music review. Check out patreon.com/SNMEradio. And now, back to the show.
Look, you know I hate talking about my feelings, but you always do this, okay? I love that you're a good person. I love that you love everybody. I love that you want to be friends with everybody. I love that little girls look up to you. I love that you're always there for me when I don't even ask you to be. And for some reason, you always can tell when something's wrong. So I just don't understand why you don't get it. I love you. I always have, and I always will. There, I said it.
I don't even understand what is happening with this. Is it a lesbian angle now, or do they just love each other as friends? I don't get it. I don't know why this angle is still happening. I mean, it was 34 years ago this week that a movie called The Neverending Story was released, and I feel as though we have a sequel with Bailey and Sasha. But apparently both of them are the damn horse that gets stuck in the mud and dies. It's the never dying story is what it is. Because it has to go away. And maybe, I mean, the only thing that I could see them potentially doing here is we're going to talk to Meltzer in the next segment about what this giant announcement is tomorrow. Stephanie McMahon showing back up on Raw. If it's tag team titles, then I guess these two compete. But if it's tag team titles and for the women and Iconic does not win it, you're ridiculous. Because they should. Just because Peyton and Billy are great. Back to your phone calls. If you got them, we're talking anything that happened this week, along with that focus on Slammiversary tonight. It just happened down the street from where we are. So 1-866-729-2562. If you've tuned in and you're driving home, then by all means, give us a call. Let us know what you thought of the live event. And very cool, we do have someone who was there tonight. Rory is on the line. Rory, you made your way down to the show tonight. How was it?
The show was good. It was just like... It exceeded my expectations, but the only thing was that the seating was a little bit nutty for some reason.
What do you mean by that?
Well, basically, it's just like the balcony part of the club. It was just for general admission.
Yeah, so first come, first serve, yep.
Yeah, and then the downstairs was pretty much for VIP and everybody else.
Okay.
But like the seating was weird because they had some people sitting on bleachers like right by the entranceway.
Yeah, that I saw that on the pay-per-view tonight. That did look kind of odd. But, I mean, to a degree, also intimate. In general, when I went through the show, I did think it... I mean, I know you didn't see it on television, but it did look good on the broadcast.
Yeah.
The show itself, though, one of the things, Rory, that I did find tonight, and since you were there live and curious, the crowd was loud, but the crowd was loud and well-behaved. And, you know, I just look at in the Dreamer match, we got an ECW chant. But then after that, it was all chanting Impact Wrestling and This Is Impact. And it just seemed like the crowd was very happy to be watching this product.
Well, because the thing is just like the way I've seen it and how like the change of management and the change of the atmosphere and the feel was like a totally, like it felt, everybody just felt excited to watch this show.
What now? Were you excited going in though, or did you get hyped up while you were there? Because really, the name Impact still does not have great things surrounding it, considering all the turmoil that there's been in the past decade, forever.
Yeah. Well, because the thing was, I was excited for the show, and I was excited for the fact that the new management was pretty much all Canadian. So I figured it's just like we can't mess this up. You know what I mean?
I'm pretty sure that management can mess a lot of things up, but I'm a little biased.
But, like, it's pretty much just, like, so far so good. Like, I wasn't disappointed at all. It was just, like I said, the seating was a little bit odd, but I guess it was just more intimate, like how they would do the Destiny shows in Mississauga.
Yeah, so what was your favorite match of the night, Rory?
My favorite match, believe it or not, was the opening match with Johnny Impact.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that was definitely, I mean, a lot going on there, a high-flying spot match. Did you think that it went too far as the hardcore aspects went? Because it really did seem to take over towards the middle to the end of the pay-per-view.
Well, because the thing was that like some of the hardcore aspects kind of just like got everybody else more excited and motivated to they keep watching the show type of thing. Because, like, because even in the tag team match with LAX,
yeah,
and the OGS, it was like the hardcore aspects were brought up, but it just got everybody more pumped up to keep seeing the rest of the match because they didn't know what was going to happen next.
Well,
they didn't know what stuff that was going to be brought in next because there was a point that, like, I took a couple pictures that I end up seeing a Grey Goose bottle, a broken Grey Goose bottle, and like a couple other objects on the right on the ramp.
Yeah, they definitely. Thank you very much for the phone call and for the live report. They definitely did keep elevating where they were going. I mean, my question was, once the railroad spikes hit, I just sat here going, okay, that's a bit much for me. But I guess that's the way they built themselves. They had to keep building and keep topping and keep raising the stakes, as we say in the comedy world. 1-866-729-2562. Also, I don't think Rory got my what I was implying in regards to the management. But anyhow, 1-866-729-2562. Okay, back to WWE here. And we're going to talk a lot about the WWE product coming up in our next hour in the Triple Threat. But one thing that I wanted to tackle here just before we go to break and then come back with Dave. This week we had the Miz funeral for Team Hell No. And now I can get by this. I don't really like seeing funerals in the world of wrestling. I mean, it's not as bad anymore as when you had a lot of people passing away. But the history of wrestling and the way the industry works kind of rubs me the wrong way. Nonetheless, Miz is great, blah, blah, comes out, does the funeral, does the best that he can with the segment that he's presented with. I was actually thrown in the segment by the fact that Daniel Bryan attacked him from behind. What? That didn't make sense. Daniel Bryan could have come out on the ramp and then run down or done something like that. It's very strange when a babyface attacks the heel from behind. Now, granted, he then got big pops for suplexing the pallbearers, which allowed Miz to run away. So that looks like where they're headed, right? It's Miz versus Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam. Is it too fast of a build to this feud, to this first match? Because if they're going to do this, they need to tell the damn story. And they have yet to really do that. This was the biggest hyped feud for Daniel Bryan coming out of these concussion problems was 100% The Miz, due to all that happened on Talking Smack. So if you're going to do this, do it right. And I'm not talking just going back and finding that Talking Smack footage. Because, yeah, that's important. Of course that's important to bring up. Of course that's important for Daniel Bryan to use as a video package with how antagonistic Miz was on Talking Smack. Go back further, though. Think about this. You can go back in this feud to 2010 when The Miz was Daniel Bryan's mentor on the original gimmicky, weird, tough enough style NXT show. Remember? Miz attacked Daniel Bryan on the very first episode when Bryan lost to Chris Jericho. There is so much story to be told between these two. And I'm just worried, as Daniel Bryan referred to in a recent interview when he was asked the question of, do you think that this feud can be held off with and built towards WrestleMania? And I can't remember his exact wording, but he basically said to the interviewer, do you trust WWE to book that angle, to hold off for that long? Well, apparently the answer to that is no, because it looks like they are firing right away to going into this angle and this happening at SummerSlam. But I want videos. I want you to dig into those archives, find those videos, tell this story. It is a hot feud that everyone has been waiting for. So for the love of God, don't waste it. If you want to keep Daniel Bryan in WWE, then do something good with him to motivate him to want to stay, more so than just telling him that he doesn't have to go on the road for 200 days a year or whatever it is, and he can end up just working the matches that he wants to and then stay home for a bit. Oh, by the way, and before we break here, I reported in the news that we've got this tag tournament. Well, we've also got the announced teams for the tag tournament on SmackDown. Get ready. Get, if you haven't heard yet, breaking news, Sanity, Usos, New Day, Bar. Wow. Glad Paige went out of her way to make that announcement at 6 o'clock on a Saturday and really build this one up. Wow. Couldn't you at least do a couple misfit teams? At least give us something interesting to watch. Nope. Everything old is new again, and we'll watch the same teams wrestle the same matches. We're going to take a break, come back on the other side. Meltzer's coming up. We're going to dig more into the Hulk Hogan situation, of course, because we haven't touched on it that much. Along with that, did he think that Impact Wrestling went too far on the show tonight? We'll find out. This is Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
We are back. It is the second hour just after midnight here on Sunday night's main event. And it is time for Dave Meltzer and the Wrestling Observer Insider. Dave, at the beginning of each show, I throw up a Sunday night survey. And this one was, what did you think of Impact Wrestling Slammiversary? Out of the 100 people that have voted, I've got my three options were thumbs up, thumbs down, or didn't watch. I've got 48% sitting with thumbs up. And 52% that said didn't watch.
Yeah.
So there was no one who watched this pay-per-view tonight that thought it was bad. What did you think?
I thought it was really good. You know, I don't think that you couldn't really say it was bad because most of the matches were really good. The last two matches were great. The opener was really good, and a lot of the stuff up and down. I mean, there were a few matches that were so-so, but most of the stuff was real good.
Now, the only thing that I have been getting the vibe of tonight is that it did feel, I mean, it had the hardcore feel to it. It kind of had an ECW vibe. I love the fact that the crowd stopped chanting ECW and started chanting Impact Wrestling partway through. Do you think this is a style that Impact is now progressing towards because this isn't necessarily out there all over the place?
I mean, partially, yeah, but I thought that it was getting old.
Me too. You know,
it felt like the only reason, like the I thought that the hardcore thing worked for the third match was because the third match was really good. Because after you saw it the first time in the Dreamer match, it was kind of like I kind of had my fill of hardcore. You know, it was and if you do like, I think if you're doing, I don't think that should be your calling card. One match on a show is good. They did three and they were all good, but I did think it was overkill.
I thought the third one was too much as well. The railroad spikes were where it hit for me, where it was like, okay, we can pull this back.
It was like all three of them were very 70s, 80s, and there was a part of me that was feeling like it's dated, but it's been so long because Ring of Honor really doesn't do that, and WWE never does it. To where, you know, where you're having with the blood and everything, to where, okay, it's new again, but it will feel old again if it's done too much.
Well, we'll see where they head towards here after this. But, well, I'm curious actually to see if people go out and find this now simply because, you know, obviously this is going to get out that it was a good show, and word of mouth is the best form of advertising, especially when people are so over, like the product is so oversaturated right now because there's so much out there.
There's so much. I mean, that's the problem with making a break is that unless you're WWE, it's hard because WWE is producing so many hours and people kind of like that's enough wrestling for people. I mean, the funny part is that, you know, if you're only watching WWE, you're missing almost all of the best wrestling.
I think it's very funny that Impact followed up the WWE pay-per-view of Extreme Rules with an actual Extreme Rules pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there was nothing last week, you know? It was the furthest thing away from Extreme Rules. I mean, the only thing extreme turned out to be the man that they brought back because that caused them some extreme problems. So yeah. Let's chat about that. The Hulk Hogan situation. I spent a bunch of time in the news pack talking about this earlier in the show. You've spent tons of time with it. So there have been statements from Mark Henry, The New Day, and Titus. Since those three have come out, have we had any more fallout since midweek?
Not really. I mean, just what The New Day said seemed to be the reaction from the majority of people in the company, but nobody really wants to say so publicly. There were definitely people who had disagreed with that, but it felt like that was the minority and the majority view. I mean, so many people were like, okay, what Kofi Kingston said is pretty much how I felt. I heard a lot of that. So, and so I think that's kind of how a lot of people viewed it, in the sense of they were willing to give him, you know, a chance. I think everyone's still willing to give him a chance right now, but they were very disappointed with how it went down, that it felt like he was not remorseful about what he said, and it kind of hurt a lot of people's feelings in that way.
Yeah, I mean, as I reviewed, I did so in the news in regards to the fact that Hogan came out and said basically, hey guys, you know, I'm sorry for getting caught with being on camera saying this, be careful out there, as opposed to being remorseful for the actual statement. Here's what I'm taking out of this, though. I mean, WWE currently extremely business savvy, and Triple H, who's, you know, kind of in charge of a lot of this, is not a dumb person. Hogan is turning 65 years old next month. He can't wrestle. He's a PR nightmare at the moment due to all of this. What's the upside?
He's part of their history, and they're going to have him do a lot of charity work and publicize it and try to revamp his image, and people like redemption stories. I mean, they rehabbed Tyson when he was at his low point. You know, if you remember in 2001, mm-hmm. brought him in. So that's kind of like what they're, you know, they tried to make Floyd Mayweather a babyface. That one didn't actually work.
No.
But you know, they tried to make Roman Reigns a babyface for years and years. They had him all over, you know, getting the humanitarian award or whatever it was the award that ESPN gave them. And, but, you know, they've been trying that for 3 years. It's just a way to, you know, he's part of their history, and I think they want him there. And you know, he will probably say what he needs to say the next time, because they'll tell him, this is what you need to say. It didn't work this way, and so he'll do what he needs to do. And, you know, is it sincere or not? It's wrestling. You know what I mean?
It's wrestling, and it's Hogan, too, right? I mean, this is a man who... There is no difference between Terry Bollea and Hulk Hogan. It's one and the same, and he's always working.
Except in court, where he tried to say it was two different people.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
To act like he was a private person, not a public figure.
Yeah.
And to explain when he lied, that when he lied, he was lying as Hulk Hogan, but Terry Bollea isn't necessarily lying.
Oh, man, I wonder who made that speech last Sunday, then.
That was Hulk Hogan.
Well, then. Yeah. Big announcement tomorrow on Raw. It's been announced Stephanie McMahon will be back on television. A few rumors going about. I mean, obviously it makes sense that it would be something to do with the women's division. Could be pay-per-view, could be the tag titles. Is there any indication in regards to what direction they are headed here with this announcement?
My impression, it might even be both, you know, but I think if it's not, it's one or the other. I mean, there's stories out that they commissioned new women's tag belts. Now, does that mean that they have them for each brand? Because I think that's kind of overkill, but that's the way they do it.
Yeah.
As far as a women's, you know, but I think women tag team titles, they might as well have them at this point. I mean, I think it's a good idea. As far as all women's pay-per-view, you know, the idea of the all-women's pay-per-view would be using a lot of the NXT women as well. And there's a lot of really good women in NXT. The way the pay-per-view business works now, it's not a risk. You know, it's not like they'll do it and what if it bombs, because there is no bombing.
No, I mean, it's a network special.
It's a network special, yeah. And it's fine, yeah. And they've done network specials before with women that have done fine. I mean, they're going to do the Mae Young thing in August. Then they're going to come back with this, probably coming off of that, you know, because I'm guessing this is going to be October, because that's the month that there's no men's pay-per-view. So, you know, or they've got the one special, but it's the Australia special in the middle of the night.
Right.
So they could do a primetime special in October, I mean, I should say. And, you know, that seems like the right time.
Yeah, that would make total sense. I mean, you could even do something where the Mae Young Classic culminates on this pay-per-view, and that would make complete sense to tie everything together.
Yes, yes, yes. And you could also have the Women's Tag Team Championship tournament end on that show as well.
I mean, it could be a really nice... I mean, Ronda could win the title there too, right? Like, it could be a really nice event to really push...
Or Ronda could be champion and make her first events.
Yeah. There's a whole... It does seem, if they are going to do this, it does seem like a good time for it. And this would get them... I mean, it would also just continue on with what Stephanie wants, being the head of this women's division, being the public figure, and it would get them a bunch of press. So it seems to make a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah. And it makes all the sense in the world. You know, first time women's pay-per-view. I mean, then people, you know, they'll try to claim it's the first women's pay-per-view ever.
Ever.
You know, there have been plenty beforehand, but yeah.
SummerSlam. Brock will defend the title. So, does it look to be a rematch, or is Lashley going to get involved here with a triple threat?
Or a three-way. I'm going to guess, it's Reigns, you know? I mean, that was
really
the plan. The plan was Reigns.
Yeah.
I mean, I can say that, but I mean, you know, plans change on a heartbeat. So it could be a three-way. I think a three-way is a better idea.
I think so, it would freshen it up.
It would be different, and you would have, you have different ways to do it. I mean, you could do it in a way where Reigns and Lashley come out of it with more matches needing to be had. And the way to do the three-way, because I think it's the best thing is for Reigns not to beat Lashley. So you've got Reigns and Lashley to feud after SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm, because Brock's on his way out.
Lashley is for them to do like a draw or a double count or a double DQ tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dave, one thing that you reported this week that has managed to send a few minor shockwaves out there is the fact that Ring of Honor has sent feelers to CM Punk.
Yes.
What is the situation here? Was this for MSG?
I don't know for a fact it was for MSG. It would make sense it would be. But, I was pretty much told what happened, and I was told that it's probably not going to happen. He's been pretty clear he's not looking at wrestling. But, you know, if you're going to run MSG, you might as well go big, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like bringing him back, I think, would sell at MSG.
I think so as well. Having him there.
Week.
Pardon? Yeah, exactly. I mean, it would.
Week, I think it's a lock it would sell it out.
Also, the only thing I could see here to tempt Punk back is after what he's gone through with the trial and knowing that it was WWE just trying to get at him with that trial, man, would this piss off Vince.
Well, if he's motivated, if his motivation in life is to piss Vince off, he will do it. But I don't think that's his motivation in life. I think his motivation in life is just to kind of say, I'm done with wrestling.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we'll know. I mean, you know, because, you know, if he had motivation, he's had plenty of time to work for somebody else.
Like, mm-hmm.
And he hasn't expressed any interest. I mean, the All-In show would have made all the sense in the world to do that. Just, you know, because who knew it was going to sell out immediately? But with Punk there, it would have sold out immediately. And then, you know, but then people would go, well, it was Punk that did it. And it's almost better that it's not for the business, because people know that it sold out without Daniel Bryan, without CM Punk, that they did it with, you know, non-WWE talent, so to speak.
Exactly. Okay, one final thing here, Dave. Anderson Silva, it was found to be a tainted supplement. When can he return, and what does UFC do with him now?
End of October, and, you know, he could fight GSP. I think
Ooh.
That's an interesting fight.
Yeah, now, that, I mean, that's been talked about for so long, the legend fight. But at this point, I think GSP's got him at this point.
He's younger. I think, you know, it's still a dangerous fight for GSP, though, because I don't think he can beat him striking. But could he out-wrestle him and win? It's still a big fight, and UFC needs a big fight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as, like, in the division, as a middleweight, you know, you could always put him in that mix a little bit. I don't know about Gastelum or somebody like that, or Whitaker. But, you know, Whitaker's going to be out until next year. So, I mean, you could go with Gastelum and Anderson Silva, actually, in like November, just for something, you know. I mean, you could do that match.
Yeah, he really does feel like more of a special attraction now, as opposed to actually being considered, you know, a serious contender, because he's 42?
He's 42, but I think he's going to be 43 by the time he fights. There's always Nick Diaz. You know, they could do that one again.
Yeah, that's true.
I think, isn't the last time that Nick Diaz fought Anderson, they both failed the drug test?
Yeah, I think you're right.
So we could do that again, yeah.
All right, Dave, we are going to say goodbye for this week. What is coming up in The Observer?
A lot. I mean, you know, whatever the stuff that WWE announces, we'll cover G1, which has been huge, both good and bad. And hopefully a big bio on Masahito and Ryo de Jalisco, among others. There's hopefully a UFC Hall of Fame story, which I've already written. Just a question of getting space in. So there's a lot of stuff this week, yeah.
All right. Well, look forward to that and look forward to chatting with you next week at this very same time. Thanks, Dave.
Okay, have a great week.
Great, you too. Dave Meltzer, WrestlingObserver.com is where you can find all of his fine work, of course, podcasts, and the actual Wrestling Observer. Also, Dave mentioned that he'll be doing a special on Masa Saito. For those of you listening live, this show is going to end at its normal time, 1 a.m. But if you download the podcast, we have done our own chat about Masa Saito. Dan Lavransky joined me in a segment that I taped earlier today. We talked about that. And then the anniversary of the passing of both Terry Gordy and 30 years ago, Bruiser Brody, and the murder of Bruiser Brody. So if you're listening live, go download the show afterwards and get that in the show as well. We are going to take a break right now. Come back. Turnbuckle Trivia is next. Following that, the Triple Threat 2 with Larry Zonka and Mike Sempervivi tonight. So stick with us. Lots more to come. It's Sunday night's main event right here on TSN Radio.
If you're a fan of Sunday night's main event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there.
Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday night's main event. We are going to play Rhyme Time with our two competitors today. And, of course, one of them will be walking away with a T-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com. Of course, the best spot online to grab your wrestling T-shirts. Yes, they have all the elite New Japan and Bullet Club shirts. And it's amazing how many people pick those after they win Turnbuckle Trivia. Our competitors today, first of all, from Long Island, his name is Peter. Hello, Peter.
Hey, Jay.
And your opponent today, Peter, will be Tony. Hi there, Tony. How are you?
Hey, Jason. How are you, bud?
Doing very well. All right, guys. So we're playing Rhyme Time, as I said. So the way this works, you're going to get three questions each. Steals are in play, and all of your answers will rhyme. So if I were to say something like, Roderick Toombs opens a pet store specializing in snakes... Your answer would be Roderick Toombs is Roddy Piper, and the snake would be a viper, so it would be Piper's Vipers. So all of your answers will rhyme. Peter, you get to go first. Here we go. WWE announcer Graves tells a tale. WWE announcer Graves tells a tale. Peter, your guess.
I don't know.
Buzzed out. All right. Over to Tony for the steal.
Corey Story.
That is a Corey Story. That is correct. Tony hits the board first with a steal. All right, Peter, get ready for your steal. Tony, this question is for you. The nickname for an internet wrestling fan that continually pesters WWE's lead play-by-play man. Once again, the nickname for an internet wrestling fan that continually pesters WWE's lead play-by-play man. Tony.
I was thinking internet darling, but I can't put it together.
That is incorrect. All right, so over to Peter for the steal. Do you got one?
Mark. Nice.
Both of you buzzed out. A big strike on that. It would be the play-by-play man, Michael Cole, who I was referring to. So a Cole troll is what I was looking for there, because you troll on the internet. All right, Peter, back to you for this one. What can happen when the Bullet Club's villain gets sick? What can happen when the Bullet Club's villain gets sick? Peter.
I don't know.
Tony, for a steal?
I'm going to reach for this one, but Skrull Hurl?
That's correct. Skrull Hurl. He gets sick. He might come up with a Skrull Hurl. Tony steals that one away. All right, Tony, this one is for you. Peter on the steal if it gets there. What happens
when ROH's hangman gets angry. What happens when ROH's hangman gets angry? You know this one quick?
Page Rage.
Page Rage is correct. Peter, I'm going to make you play through here just to see if you can get him and get back in. Peter, one of NXT's tag team champions, combines marketing skills with Lita for a line of wrestling undergarments. Peter?
Strong thong.
Of course, a strong thong is correct. Very good. Couldn't you see that one on the WWE shop? A strong thong. And Tony, final one here, just to get a final score. NXT announcer creates an alter ego by putting on a black mask and carrying a sword.
Yeah, I got nothing on that.
Nothing on that for a steal, Peter? Anything?
Moro Zorro?
It would be Moro Zorro. Peter, with two answers to come back, but unfortunately, Tony had the early steals, and he's got you with a 3-2 victory, but definitely coming back strong there, Peter. But, Tony, you've got the t-shirt. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yes. Any t-shirt he wants, that is, from ProWrestlingTees.com. And if you would like to play Turnbuckle Trivia, well, you can. All you've got to do is sign up for the new Patreon at the Turnbuckle Trivia level. It's just a couple bucks more at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Okay, I noticed a lot of you have done this past week. I appreciate it. I will get to all of you to play this game. And I'm actually thinking maybe we do a big tournament leading into WrestleMania. That's my plan. Then we can have an ultimate Turnbuckle Trivia champion. We'll see what I can organize here, but that won't start till after SummerSlam. As we lead up to SummerSlam, trying to get the mouth back on the show, patreon.com/SNMEradio. Check it on out. We are taking a break, coming back. It's the Triple Threat, and it is next right here, Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Boy, when you're with me.
If you like wrestling, then your friends probably do too. And there's no better gift for a friend than a sweet wrestling t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com.
The Festival of Friendship!
From Ring of Honor, New Japan, and the Independents.
Superkick!
To classic superstars like Shawn Michaels, Andre the Giant, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
The cream of the crop!
Find the perfect gift for the wrestling fan in your life at ProWrestlingTees.com.
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event with Jason Agnew.
This is my yard now.
On TSN Radio.
One, two, three.
This is the Triple Threat.
There's gonna be a Triple Threat.
Triple Threat.
Triple Threat match.
On Sunday Night's Main Event.
It is Triple Threat time here on Sunday Night's Main Event, and two returning Triple Threaters, is that what we call them? He is the co-host of Wrestling Observer Live, and his name is Mike Sempervivi. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being back.
Thank you for having me back. I appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
Now, the other part of this Triple Threat today, again, he's been on the show a couple times, one of my favorite writers to read at 411mania.com, Larry Zonka. How you doing?
Fantastic. Thank you. Hope everybody else is doing well.
Everybody is good, and TV this week, you know, SmackDown definitely better than Raw, I'd say, but Raw started with the fallout from the pay-per-view, and we saw the whole Lashley, Reigns, and Lesnar situation come about. So let's start, guys. This is our first week on the build to SummerSlam, and to be honest with you, I like the fact that we had Lashley go over Reigns clean at the pay-per-view last week. And then I felt as though we just became the hamster in the wheel once again on Monday night with two Triple Threat matches leading right back to where we were. Larry, you have to watch so much wrestling. I just find this repetitiveness drives me insane.
Yeah, it kind of bothered me too, because my feeling was is they had Lashley beat Reigns at the pay-per-view. So I'm hoping that Lashley's going to go on to face Brock. And then if he wins the title, you can go back to he and Roman, or if you just, you know, you could have done a lot of other things, but it seems like just going back to the match, while good, feels very repetitive, and I don't know. They're probably going to do a schmoz finish and get all three of them in there, but if it's just back to Roman and Brock again, I'm just kind of throwing my hands up in the air. Because, like, it hasn't worked yet, guys.
Well, I think that is the big question here. And do we get that schmoz finish? Mike, do you think the Vince McMahon has finally said maybe we've given the fans enough Lesnar and Reigns and maybe Lashley has to be put into this mix at SummerSlam?
You know, I would think that. And I would think that that would be a direction that you would want to go. The thing is, I didn't believe that you need Roman Reigns as a part of that. And I forgot for a moment that Vince McMahon is not going to let you go without Roman Reigns for a second. And he is, Bobby Lashley's probably going to be inserted. But the problem I have with all of this is that Bobby Lashley, to me, was the best of a bad situation. Roman's not going to get cheered against Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam in New York. It's just not going to happen. He's probably not going to get cheered anywhere. If he's going to get cheered against anybody, he would probably be against Bobby Lashley. And in Bobby Lashley, you have a guy that, at least in storyline form, you can create enough of a story around that to where you have somebody that can beat Brock Lesnar, or at least somebody who you could put out there and not feel bad about. We've seen Brock blow through everybody. He's already beaten Roman a million times. He's beaten Braun. He's beaten Samoa Joe. Who else do you have? They got somebody right there with Bobby Lashley who's been inserted into this story. And I thought that's a good direction to go. And then later on down the line, have Roman beat Bobby. But Vince just can't help himself. I guess it's what it is. And Roman's going to be inserted. And instead of having, you know, Bobby go in unscathed in all this, you had to have Roman get his win back, you know, over him. Or that's what at least this thing feels like that it's going to lead to, where there's not going to be a schmoz. Roman's going to get the win. They'll be 1-1 and both staking a claim to Brock, even though it makes absolutely no sense. And that's probably the direction they're going to go, with Roman probably winning the belt coming out of that. And I just think it's all, again, the insertion of Roman into this instead of just waiting on it and trying to crown him a little bit later. I don't know. It's just very frustrating.
All right, let's talk about something that seems to be going pretty well, and there's quite a bit of planning involved with this, is the fact that, very subtly, Becky Lynch over on SmackDown has gone on a nice winning streak. She tapped out Mandy Rose clean this week, and then she called out Carmella. To me, this should roll right into a SummerSlam match, but I'd say, unfortunately, we have to see Becky and Carmella on SmackDown this week, and I think one of the biggest tragedies of this in any Carmella match is the fact that it's a Carmella match. We haven't seen a good match out of her in either one of her title defenses yet on pay-per-views. Do you think, I'll ask a two-prong question here, and we'll go to you first, Larry. Becky and Carmella, does Becky take the title away? More importantly, can this be a good match?
I wish Becky could take the title away, but I don't see it. They seem to be all in on the whole Mella is money thing, and you know, we have people with delusions of grandeur that she's the best heel on the roster because people don't like her because she wins crappy matches in crappy ways. And it's like, she seems like a nice enough girl. I'm sure she works really, really hard, but her matches haven't been very good. The Ellsworth stuff does nothing. They've managed to make Asuka look like a complete idiot.
Oh, that's a whole nother issue. That is the Asuka situation is an entire nother issue. But, you know, Carmella and Becky, Mike, I don't like the fact that you've had this winning streak in place. She deserves a title shot. Why not just give her that shot on the pay-per-view as opposed to having her do the show before the show?
Crazy, right? I mean, you think that's how you would do things. I mean, not that we're going to bring up G1 discussion, but it's not like Larry and I and you are not, you know, ignorant to what is going on there and ignorant to the former rules of pro wrestling, which I know WWE doesn't abide by all the time, being so sports entertainment and such. But when you actually insert some things from the past that you used to do, like, you know, wins and losses actually mattering a little bit, like, it's amazing what you can do. Like, you can build a winning streak for, like, oh, I don't know, say a Braun Strowman or something like that, and you can watch that person get over, Goldberg, say. And I'm not saying Becky Lynch will do that, but that's what she's going on a winning streak. She's winning clean. She's winning with the disarmer. Yeah, I mean, this isn't that difficult. And so you can build something off of that, and that should be building up to a title match with Carmella, where there are some things thrown in the way for her, but this is going to build towards SummerSlam. But like Larry said, they just love Carmella, and I think Carmella as a character is great. I think her matches stink. I think her and Alexa both with the titles, you don't need to have that happen. And I think in their urge to get her over to a certain degree, they slaughtered Charlotte in the process, and they slaughtered Asuka in the process. So it makes me wonder what this thing, whole thing is with Becky is going to be. Is it going to be Becky just going and being another notch on Carmella's belt? I mean, that's really possibly the way that it could go. And if that's going to be the case, then I would rather them short-circuit it and not have it built up where we get the same stupid Ellsworth type of ending. I like Carmella as a character. I really, really do. But the matches are bad, and it's more of a matter to me of Becky deserves that belt. Becky deserves to be the focus of that brand. And I think with that brand, with the people you have on it, her being challenged by Charlotte shouldn't lose anything. Her being challenged by anybody shouldn't lose anything. And I think they do Shades of Grey a lot, and they like to try to paint themselves with Shades of Grey. Here's a great example with Becky just being a champion. Have her win it and then kind of shake things out from there.
But we're telling stories, Mike. Got to tell stories. You have to have her overcome the odds on TV. Yeah. After beating everybody, pretty much.
Yeah, that's right. After beating everybody, you still got to overcome the odds and beat Carmella
The whole division, yep. Except for like Naomi, because she's her friend.
And you know, Lance Storm, I think, was one of the ones who brought it up this week. I think it was him who brought it up, but it was just like, you know, if you think about it, I mean, Carmella, they go and she's on this winning streak, and she's got to face Carmella. In what, a non-title match to get a title match? I mean, their consistency on how people get these quote-unquote opportunities is just ludicrous.
We're clearly talking too much about logic for the WWE here.
I know.
Let's talk about, because if that's going to bug me this upcoming week, this drove me absolutely insane. I, of course, did the podcast previous to this that was all exclusive to NXT, and I watched Andrade Cien Almas go from a terrible looking lost Boricua, because he was lost looking guy, to having one of the finest acts in NXT with Zelina Vega, then being brought up to SmackDown and all of a sudden disappearing before finally having that match with Sin Cara twice. And it basically being the same match that didn't even make the pay-per-view. This week, he's thrust into a match with AJ Styles and loses clean. Can one of you tell me what the rationale behind throwing him into this match was?
Larry, you want me to try or you want to go ahead?
I'll try to go first, man. Okay. I know what they wanted to do, obviously, because they're like, Andrade Almas is a great wrestler.
Sure.
AJ Styles is a great wrestler. Let's throw them out there for 10 or 15 minutes. They're going to have a great match that the fans are probably going to like. And then AJ's going to win, and everybody's going to go, yay, Andrade, you did really good even though you lost. It's the participation award. Yeah, it was a very good match.
Sure.
I enjoyed it. But you draft this guy, and, you know, I love Triple H for all he's done with NXT and everything. He has a lot of good ideas. But the biggest lie he's ever told in the last 2 years, and it's not all his fault because the old man's still in charge, is that we don't bring anybody up without a plan. So was your plan to bring up Andrade Almas, have him do two jobber matches in, like, 12 weeks, and then face Sin Cara twice, and then lose the AJ Styles clean? Is that the master plan? All while giving Zelina Vega pretty much no TV time to talk. The only time I see her talk is when I post post-match interview stuff. And she's awesome. But you're not letting her do her job on TV, which was a huge part of what turned the act around. Because let's face it, Le Sombre was dying in NXT.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
he had no direction. He had no energy in his matches. He had nothing. He looked nothing like the guy that got signed. They bring her in. They give him direction. She's awesome. He gets his confidence back. He starts having great matches, has a great title run. We're all happy. And then he gets brought up with the quote-unquote plan, which the plan was to do nothing.
You know, I did understand what they were trying to do, And, you know, Andrade, the athlete in a 50-50 match with Sin Cara, by their logic, was going to help him in this match with AJ, which in some ways, I guess, did help him as an introduction. But as a character, I mean, you basically have him lose right off the bat, even though it is the champion. I mean, it's just how they go about dealing with their fan bases is just always head-scratching to me. And it's been a lot. With Jinder Mahal has been in the past, but how they tried to go into India and how they looked at that market and how they thought they were going to take it over and the things they thought they could do, their tone deafness with, frankly, their African-American fan base, bringing Hulk Hogan back in the way they did with the arrogance to me and the way that they did it and the way that Hogan has gone about it. But now also with the building of a Latin fan base and a Hispanic fan base and a Mexican fan base that has always been there for you and has always been there for wrestling, and you continue time after time after time. And Riley Cien Almas, again, it's early in his campaign here, but it seems to be another case where I see the Lucha House Party and Gran Metalik and what he was able to do before he got to WWE and what he's doing right now, and it absolutely blows my mind. They have no problem going back to the well for Rey Mysterio Jr., but none of these other guys get their chance to break out. And boy, I hope Cien Almas gets a chance to break out.
Sometimes WWE does have a tendency to look back before they look forward. I think we've seen that numerous times. Sometimes bad, like the Cien Almas situation that you brought up and looking back to Rey Mysterio instead of creating that new star. Sometimes good, though. And I have to say, as much as I didn't like his appearance on the pay-per-view last week, Randy Orton attacking Jeff Hardy. Mike, you're an old school fan. You've watched the Brawlers from back in the day. Rarely do I sit and watch wrestling and cringe in a good way, as weird as that sound. But Orton attacking Hardy and grabbing his ear was gross in the best type of heel way. What did you think?
That's hardcore. That's, you know, Jeff Hardy, I don't know what it's like to have spacers in my ears nor have that hole then be ripped on. It's just, oh, God, it looked hideous.
Hideous.
I don't know how it felt, but, oh, my God, it was brutal. And I tell you what, I like it. A lot of people are wondering what the hell is going on with Randy Orton. To me, perfect. You get him back a little bit to his more insane days, and he's going to look at Nakamura and go, I don't care how crazy you're acting, I'm actually crazy. I actually have a history and a past of doing, you know, insane things and knocking people out and killing legends and all that sort of stuff. And I like the direction that they're going with him. He needed some help. He needed big-time help after that terrible feud with Bray Wyatt and then, you know, a lot of worse stuff since then, the Jinder Mahal feud. He had nothing to go with. Him coming back, there'll be no point in bringing him back and wasting him. I think this is fantastic and perfect for his character.
I actually laughed. People were like, what are they doing here with Orton? I'm like, he's interesting is what they're doing. It's like, he needs to be a heel. He's not a good babyface. He doesn't, like, he's fine in small spurts as a babyface, but he doesn't like it. So mm-hmm. He doesn't give it his all. He's not interested in it. You have him come back, he gets to beat up dudes and try to rip their ears off. And it's like, you know, it's like, hey, I was like, for like probably the first time in over a year, I was actually interested in Randy Orton. I'm like, that's great. Stomp down the beloved babyface, try to rip his ear off. Let's do some more of this. I'm good.
I completely agree with you and actually look forward to seeing what becomes and what rationale Randy Orton has for us this Tuesday on SmackDown. Gentlemen, thanks for your time today. We got to wrap up, but where can people find you? Larry, go ahead.
411mania.com, zonkamania.com, and at LarryZonka411 on the Twitter machine.
And Michael, people can listen and find you where?
Well, Larry does really good G1 reviews. You should look at those, everybody. I swear to God. But you can catch me, WrestlingObserver.com or F4WOnline.com. Wrestling Observer Live every single day of your life. We're on Sports Byline USA doing that show, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. on Sundays.
Amazing. Gentlemen, thank you for being part of the Triple Threat once again. We are now going to take a short break and be back. More Sunday night's main event right here on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to Sunday night's main event. Just a quick break here. Jason Agnew in studio across from me. Dan the Mouth of Ransky, the man that we are trying to bring back to this show.
Bring back the mouth. Bring back the mouth.
And we can do that
for a dollar a show, which is what we're asking for, right, Mouth?
That is absolutely amazing. A dollar a show. I mean, think of it. You can't even buy a cup of coffee for a dollar. In fact, I don't even know what you can buy for a dollar nowadays. You can't ride the transit. You couldn't buy a cup of coffee. I mean, this is a fantastic deal. Me and Jay together every week giving you all the wrestling news, reviewing all the big shows. I mean, a dollar a show.
And with that level, you also get access to all the Patreon exclusive podcasts, Mae Young Classic, All In, and of course, Mouth and I have big plans to get up and have a sleepover till 4 a.m. and then we're going to watch WWE's Australian show and do that, right, Mouth?
You better have a lot of food and beer for that, Jay.
Just check out patreon.com/SNMEradio. We thank you for your contributions. Alrighty, one more segment here on the program. This is where we normally do feedback, but of course, as I always say, phone calls over feedback. So let's get to our phone calls here, continuing on a fun Slammiversary card tonight, but anything up for grabs from this week in the world of pro wrestling and MMA. Hey, Jake is on the line from the Windy City. Jake, what are you saying this week?
Hey, buddy, thanks for taking my call. I won't take too much of your time, but I just want to talk about the Madison Square Garden show at Ring of Honor in New Japan that I'm really excited of going. I might be planning on going over to New York City for WrestleMania weekend. But my question to you is, do you think it's happening that Saturday, that weekend?
Yep.
Do you think it's a good idea for them to book that event head to head with NXT TakeOver? Because that's some very heavy competition right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's heavy competition, but it's also, let's think about this. I mean, you're going to have however many wrestling fans are filling up the stadium the very next day that are there, which they'll say is 100,000, but it's probably 80,000, right? That are going to be there, or 60,000 or whatever. And you're looking at, what, 15,000 as a sellout? And then another 15 in the Barclays Center? So that's 30,000 right there. You still got another 30,000. So with that math, there's plenty of wrestling fans. There's actually, Jake, you know, there's a bunch of wrestling fans that go to WrestleMania weekend and don't go to WrestleMania anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's such a long event and it's such an expensive event that they'll take in all the festivities around it as opposed to going there and sitting there for, what, 8 hours? It's a long time.
All right. Thanks.
Cool.
Thanks for the call, Jake.
Thank you very much for it. No, thank you. You called me. Thank you for the call, though, Jake. Much appreciated. Love hearing from you and love hearing from all you guys now that we got our phone lines fixed again. All right. Bits of feedback here. Before we do that, though, just let me throw this out there. Hey, we have hit 100 patrons in a week. So thank you very much for becoming patrons. Once again, last week, we switched over from Podbean to Patreon. So it's patreon.com/SNMEradio. I think it's a good start for week one. We're on to our second goal now. The second goal would bring a co-host in 2 out of 4 weeks. And then the next goal would be the Mouth each and every week. So we'll see what we can do. Go on there. Along with that, I wanted to let you know of a few things that I will be doing on Friday, August the 17th. Summer Strikes will be happening. I've confirmed it. It is back. This is my series of wrestling-themed improv shows. So it's like Whose Line Is It Anyway meets Fear Factor. And these ones have a wrestling theme. It's sitting there in a theater with 100 other people, and everyone gets the most inside wrestling jokes. And all the performers, by the way, Nug Nargang, for those of you that have been, our champ, Scotty Goldman. His real name is actually Scott Goldman. No offense to Colt. It's his real name. He will be playing again as well, so he is back. So I will be giving you details on how to get tickets. You can find them, though, at comedybar.ca, or actually easier, twostrikescomedy.com, and you can click on the link there and buy tickets for Survivor Strikes. Or there is a Patreon level that gets you tickets to all of my comedy shows, and yes, the wrestling shows are included. Let me get to a couple pieces of feedback here. One that came in that I read earlier and was like, hey, man, you're right. Daniel Markey writes in and says, why don't they ever put the cruiserweights on Raw anymore? You have 3 hours of TV to fill, and instead of the usual boring promo into boring match and Strowman tipping something over, you could put high-impact 5-minute cruiserweight matches on there. You know, it didn't strike me until I got this message that they did pull the cruiserweights off Raw. Did you guys notice that? To me, this just struck me. I really think that they've made the divide and put them on 205 Live now, Daniel, and the cruiserweight matches that were on Raw were dying a painful death. So I think that's why they did that. And if you're watching 205 Live, they're doing a bit better there. And, you know, Rockstar Spud's there. One of my faves. Just love how that guy talks. And works in the ring, which I think will eventually happen as well. Mario asks, time to put the WWE tag division on a milk carton. Both rosters have gone straight to the crapper with zero angles and storylines for the most part, with most of these teams not even on TV, such as The Bar and the Authors of Pain. Well, Authors of Pain were on TV this week. The Bar is back in this crazy SmackDown tournament that they got going on, which I agree, the tag team division is in bad shape. But one thing to leave you with, if you didn't watch NXT this week, at least go out of your way to watch the War Raiders vignette. And also, Undisputed's on its way, maybe Mustache Mountain, how about the Street Profits? There are tag teams a-coming, they just got to make them happen. And for the love of God, use the Revival for something, because they're amazing. We're saying goodbye for this week here on the program. Going to be back next Sunday night. Remember, patreon.com/SNMEradio. And if you're listening to the podcast, thank you. If you're listening live, go download the podcast, because Lavransky and I are up next. Talking the passing of Masa Saito, Terry Gordy, and yes, the 30-year anniversary of the murder of Bruiser Brody. Join us next Sunday night, though. It is Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio, and as Billy Red Lions always used to say, don't you dare miss it. Welcome back. Sunday night's main event here on TSN Radio, and the gentleman on the line was sitting across from me last week. You've been hearing his voice during the commercials today, but he's on the phone right now. Dan the Mouth of Vransky, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Mr. Agnew. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. Now, Mouth, of course, you have co-hosted with me a few times on this show and many years on Live Audio Wrestling, but we've also had you on as the historian of the show. And this past week, we had another passing in the world of wrestling, but not necessarily the tragic passings that we used to have, what seemed to be, you know, every week about them. This is a gentleman who, after a long battle with Parkinson's disease, passed away at the age of 86, and that's Masanori Saito passed away. He was an Olympian. He had a long history in professional wrestling. I'm just looking for basically a Reader's Digest version of to let fans know who don't know about him, because I don't, Mouth, to be honest with you. All I know about him really is seeing WWE tag team title histories and knowing that at one point he was Mr. Fuji's partner and won the tag team titles a couple times. But where does he fall into the world of wrestling history?
Well, he's quite an interesting character, Jay. He was one of the guys that was actually in the Olympics. He represented Japan in 1964 in the Olympics, and they kind of took his pro wrestling career off of that. And he's one of the coolest things about him in terms of things that people will understand today is that one of the most common moves that we see performed, the Scorpion Deathlock, was originated by Masa Saito. And
Mouth, we're in Canada. That's the sharpshooter.
Oh, I'm sorry. Exactly. Yes, exactly. The sharpshooter in Canada. But there, look at that. A Sting and Bret Hart. I mean, two of the biggest stars of all time took that move and used that move. He also was famous for the Saito suplex, which was his kind of a spinning suplex kind of move. They would, you know, back in those days when they went for a more realistic approach, they pushed him heavily as an Olympic athlete. It's funny, he was in the 64 Olympics, but in the 80s, because he was almost so much older at that point, they said he was in the 1976 Olympics.
Ah, yeah.
Just to make him appear not to be as old, right?
The age phobia was always there in the world of wrestling, right?
Yeah. You're right. He was a great tag team champion. He wrestled with this guy Kinji Shibuya in the AWA. They held the titles there. They held the NWA tag titles as well. And yes, he had the run in the WWF with Mr. Fuji, and they held the tag team titles twice.
I'm guessing he was the workhorse in the team with Mr. Fuji.
In every team that he was in, Jay, he was the workhorse.
Mm.
Yeah, usually the other partner would be, half of them wouldn't even be actually Japanese, they'd be Hawaiian, they would, yes, exactly, they would do the talking, and Mr. Saito would do the wrestling, and even later when he was a single, he was usually one of those guys that always had a manager, because he had a great menacing look and presence, and he could work in the ring, so he was one of those classic guys that they would just let the manager or somebody talk with them.
I was just going to say, one of the things that he's definitely remembered for wasn't even with his own actions, and it was the fact that he's linked to the very famous Ken Patera arrest story.
Yeah, what happened was, exactly, the two of them showed up at the restaurant. It was a McDonald's. Apparently, they wouldn't let them in. It was getting ready to close. And Patera, who was a shot putter, so he took this giant boulder and threw it through the window. And apparently, they left after that. And the police actually came to the hotel room to try to get them. And there was a huge brawl with the officers getting beaten down. A woman officer actually had her leg broken in this melee. But the two of them stood trial, and they even had wrestlers try to. Like, they had wrestlers as character witnesses, Jay, if you can believe that.
That's so strange. And that brings new definition to character witness.
Yeah, isn't it? It's weird. And it worked against them. And yeah, he ended up spending 2 years in jail, and really at a kind of a crucial point as well, because this was right before the big expansion that McMahon had pulled. And I think he would have been involved more in the expansion, because this happened in 84, and in 83 he had already done a program with Hulk Hogan. And so I think if he hadn't have been arrested, we would have probably seen him a lot more during the expansion. And just as a side note, I totally remember when this incident happened, because on the TV that week, Billy Red Lions came out and said, due to circumstances beyond our control, Ken Patera cannot appear at Maple Leaf Gardens. And they made Bobby Heenan wrestle in Ken Patera's place. And, of course, Heenan came out and cut the great promo. I'm a manager. I don't do that kind
of
stuff.
Of course.
But I distinctly remember that was quite a big story when it happened.
Now, this week also is the anniversary of two other very significant big men in the industry, so I just wanted to touch on these as well. If we go back to July 16th, 2001, Terry Gordy passed away. And Gordy was one of the original members of the Fabulous Freebirds.
Yes.
Why does he stand out in wrestling history?
Well, again, he was just one of the best big guys of all time, Jay. Like, even at a young age, he showed amazing acumen in the ring. He adapted to it very easily. He had a great look. Again, he was another one where, in the Freebirds, obviously, they would let Michael Hayes do all the talking most of the time, right? So Gordy just had to kind of look big and menacing. But he could really go in the ring, and very talented. And unfortunately, he did meet an early demise because of his own demons and issues like that. But he was one of those guys that was just totally fit for pro wrestling. He jumped right in, got the hang of it very quickly, and definitely was one of the best big guys. There's no doubt about it.
Now, he was to a time, and you mentioned that he met his own demise due to his own demons, and those demons actually took a toll on his wrestling career, because there was a time where he overdosed on painkillers, went into a coma, did try to come back after that, and what a lot of modern fans won't realize is that the character in 1996 and 97, known as the Executioner in the WWF, was Terry Gordy.
That's near the end of the run. By that point, unfortunately, he couldn't perform as well as he had been. And, that was kind of typical of Vince, right? To have a major star like that and not go with who he was somewhere else and give him a somewhat ridiculous gimmick. He had a mask on and everything. It was kind of silly, but by that point, he was not the performer he was early on. I mean, if you want to check out some classic Terry Gordy, you need to find some of the stuff from Japan, actually, when he wrestled over there, because he was just fantastic when he was in Japan.
Well, another legend that was huge in Japan and in North America, and it was the 30-year anniversary. For 30 years ago, July 17th, 1988, Bruiser Brody was murdered. Now, is he your favorite professional wrestler of all time?
I would have to say yes. Even though, you know what, Jay, I never actually saw him live.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw any live performances with Brody. He did work in Montreal very close to his death, I believe like a year or two before his death. He did some stuff in Montreal, and it was on. I saw it on TV a lot. But, yeah, he's just one of those guys. He had such a presence, the gimmick. Again, you watch footage of Brody when he wrestled in Japan, and he just has such a presence, much like The Undertaker has always been. Brody was very protective of his gimmick. He basically lived the gimmick outside the ring. You know, if you came up to him in an airport, he would probably, you know, talk to you, but he would be very limited. He would kind of maybe even snarl at you. But, and just, again, another great big man who, you know, and the thing that always comes up with Brody's passing is 1988. He had been in the WWF earlier. In fact, it was Vince McMahon Sr. that gave him the name Bruiser Brody. But there's always that big what if during the expansion, if he would have come in, because 88, right? So we're only 4 years into the expansion. If he had come in and worked a program with Hulk Hogan, how big it would have been. I think it would have been huge, and it would be something we would all be talking about even now today. But unfortunately, that whole setup in Puerto Rico and just, you know, with Jose Gonzalez, just a terrible, terrible tragedy. No one should, you know, die because the promoter's upset with them. It was just the most ridiculous thing. But I always think about that. If he hadn't been murdered and if he had been able to have a run, I think he would have had a run. And he certainly, you know what, I think would have had a run in ECW too, because he pretty well kind of pioneered that kind of brawling style that Paul Heyman adapted to ECW. So a lot of what ifs with Brody, but just such a great presence, a great gimmick. You know, amazingly talented guy.
And, you know, even if he would have been a little bit older, but I'm sure he would have had a part in the Monday Night Wars as well. I mean, at that point, he would have been, I think, in his 50s. But that didn't seem to matter just due to star power at that time in the Monday Night Wars. Was there not a story, a legendary story, about the first WrestleMania and someone wanting to pay Brody?
Yes.
What was this story?
Yeah, that's right. He was offered money by a promoter to basically attack, I think it was attack a Hogan.
Hogan.
Or it was really, really shady, and it was something. As much as Brody was, you know, worked for himself and tried to always get the best deal he could, and was often known for screwing promoters if they screwed with him first, he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He realized that would not be a smart thing to do, and that would probably mess up his career forever. But yeah, it's a weird little story, and I'm not surprised. Brody, from stuff I've read through the years and talking to his widow, Barbara, I don't think he would have ever pulled something like that.
He was known to be difficult to work with for promoters, as you mentioned. If people who had not seen Brody yet, if our fans listening have not seen Brody, what would you recommend they go and track down and check out?
Well, the best, really, I mean, the stuff with Brody is that he could adapt so well. So, I mean, if you can see, like, he did that one great match, as you know, with Ric Flair in St. Louis in the early 80s, and it's just an absolutely fascinating, and you get to see Brody wrestle a more technical style with Ric Flair. But I think if you really want to see Brody in his prime, you need to see some stuff from New Japan and All Japan. He worked with both promotions. He was a killer tag team with Stan Hansen in Japan, and, you know, he fought all of the big guys, Baba and Oki, and always had very spectacular matches in Japan. So to me, that's, and there's nothing beats the visual of when he would come to the ring with Immigrant Song blaring by Led Zeppelin, and he would just run through the crowd of the Japanese swinging that chain, and they would just scatter. They would just run everywhere. Like, he was one of those guys that created a very, very strong impression. And I would recommend, if you could find some stuff. I know on New Japan World, the subscription service that New Japan has, they have some old Brody matches on there that you could check out.
All righty, we'll track that down. And Mouth, thanks for giving us a bit of a history lesson today, and hope to have you back in the chair very soon.
Yes, that's what we're shooting for. Come on, people. We got to get back together.
This is
a tag team that should never have broken up.
Patreon.com/SNMEradio. Thanks, Mouth.
Okay, take care, Jay.